Today on Real Life Radio.
Opposite to worry, opposite to anxiety, opposite to worldly wealth and pursuit of possessions, opposite to your own agenda and your own program. What's the answer? Jack, you've told me a lot of stuff. How do I fix this and change this in my life? There it is, verse 31. Seek first the kingdom of God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Life According to Who, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 12, we consider the definition of life. The human answer is based on desires and feelings, but the Bible defines life from a broader perspective. You see, we put too much value on our things and we spend too much on ourselves. Not helping others who are less fortunate means our investment is in the wrong place. Life is meant to be purposeful and meaningful. It's not in what we own or how much we own or in our dreams and aspirations to go on a permanent vacation. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when we truly give from the heart, it proves that worry has been defeated in our lives. When our desire is to be generous and hunger only for the things of God, we will be filled with happiness and meaning. But before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Life According to Who, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Burdens, concerns of life, things. It's going to happen. We're going to get bad news today or bad news tomorrow to some degree or another. Don't worry. There'll be bad news coming this week. Something's going to happen. And watch this. There's some of you right here this morning who name the name of Jesus, but because I just said that, you are now thinking, oh, he just wished a curse upon me. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I didn't. But there are those, you know, the glass half empty team and the glass half full team. Depends on how you look at things. And I got to be honest with you, we look at things often the wrong way. Why? How? Because those views that we have about things often bring about worry. But why do we worry? Birds don't worry. We're created in the image of God. Birds don't worry, so why can I not worry? The answer is, you don't have to worry. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of trials. Are the things that are unrealistic controlling your life? In mine, it's the things that are just not reasonable. Jesus says, you're worrying about something you have no control over. You guys, let's be honest. Okay, I'll be honest for you. I'm the one with the microphone. I'll tell you what goes on in your life and mine. 99% of the stuff we worry about never happens. Then there's stuff that happens instantly. Thank God that we didn't have a chance to worry about. What if God were to say to you, hey, Bill, tomorrow, you're going to have this happen, that happen, and the other thing happen. You wouldn't even be able to go to sleep, and then you wouldn't even be able to get out of bed because you'd be worried sick about it because you would focus on that thing instead of what God's going to do in it. It's where we place our focus. I've told you guys this before, but it bears repeating because I see it in my mind all the time about this issue. When I was just a young guy, I was learning how to fly airplanes. I love airplanes. I think you know that. And my instructor, there had been a heavy rain and a little sinkhole, I mean little, like the size of a basketball, had formed at runway 19 left at John Wayne Airport, the left runway. And he said, now, before we get going here, you got to remember, they haven't gotten out there a chance to fix it yet. There's a little sinkhole that happened during the night. So watch out for that. Okay, did you hear what he said? To watch out for that. How do you view that? Watch out for it. Well, as a normal civilian type person, it means for me to keep my eyes on it. I got to watch out for that thing. But to a pilot, it means something totally different. So we take off. I fly around. I come in to land, and my instructor is sitting there, and I hit the hole. He didn't say anything. Put up the flats, full throttle, do a touch and go, come back around. I hit the hole again. I'm not joking. Come back around, come into land, I hit the hole again, three times. I mean, that has got to be amazing flying, right? And he was an old man, Ralph Eaton from West Texas. Cowboy boots, looks over at me. He says, how long are you going to hit? Or how many times are you going to hit that hole? I said, I'm trying so hard not to hit the hole. And he said, well, where are you looking? I said, Of course, as soon as I get on to final approach, I'm looking at the hole so I don't hit the hole. He goes, that's why you're hitting the hole. Don't look at the hole. Look beyond the hole. Yes, sir. Okay. Guess what? Put your eyes 20 feet beyond the hole and you'll never hit the hole again. You'll miss it every time because you're going to land where you're looking. And we can start looking around at things, and if it's these things of our lives that are unrealistic things, but you focused on it, you're going to be hitting its lumps and its bumps, and you'll never get it right. Life is like that. Jesus says, don't worry about things. Stop focusing on the thing and look to me. I'll take care of you. It's completely unrealistic to worry. What is worry? Worry is you're going to want to write this down. This is free. You ready? Worry is assuming a responsibility that was never intended to be yours. Now, some of you entrepreneurs, you can make a bumper sticker out of that and put on a car. People need to see that today. By the way, it's equal today to a parent telling a child. Imagine grabbing a five-year-old and saying, Johnny, listen, the interest rates are going up. You understand that? If there's one more rate hike, we're going to be homeless. We're going to be on the street pushing a shopping cart. Do you understand me? Total ruin I'm speaking about. You don't tell that to a five-year-old. They're not capable. But they see your concern and they begin to freak. They don't even know what they're freaking out about. Is that not what we are like? The world says, do you understand? Look how bad this is. And we go, oh no, what are you worrying about? I'm not exactly sure, but it's really bad. God says, don't do that. Why? We have no power to control it. Now, some people, and I've known people like this, they will worry anyway because they've deceived themselves into thinking that by worrying about it, it makes them, in a deceptive way, think they have control over it. It's a very, very dangerous sin. I can't just give it up. Oh yeah, you can. And look, you have to give it up over and over again, by the way. But give it up, it'll kill you. A human being, and I think this is absolutely scientifically provable, that a human being was not designed to worry. God created a human being to worship, to serve him, but never to worry. Worry kills us. In 1 Peter, this is a great verse too. You got to write this down. This is awesome. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. And by the way, this is coming from a man who, before God got control of his life, he was probably quite a worrier. It's Peter. And he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I love that. Get under God's hand. Good place to be. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Anybody prone to worry? Raise your hand. You bunch of liars. Raise your hands. We're all prone to worry. That's why it's in the Bible. 1 Peter 5, 7, and 6. Chapter 5, 6, and 7, cast all of our cares upon him. The word in the Greek is awesome. It means to toss, to throw, to heave the weight away from you. The Lord is saying, give me the weight. Take it. Some of you might need to go to Target or something to buy a little bean bag or a pillow. And the next time you begin to worry about something, grab it and throw it. Lord, you can have it now. Here it is. Throw it. If I would have been thinking, I would have had a bunch of bean bags. I could have thrown them out here right now. Here's finances and fears and relationships and whatever. Stop worrying about it. Throw it to the feet of God. Let him take care of it. Simple childlike trust and hope and rest in him. Number three, life according to who? What energizes your life? What energizes your life? Verses 27 to 30. Is it your faith in God? I hope so. But is it your faith in God? Verse 27, here we go again. Consider, circle the word, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. This is funny. And yet I say to you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon doesn't look very good in comparison. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? The word consider here is a great word. Kataneo in the Greek. It means to study, to observe fully, to discover. It has a partner in the Old Testament. To consider, to study, to observe fully, to discover. In Psalm 46, verse 10, we love this verse. The verse means, or the verse says, Psalm 46, 10, be still and know that I am God. Why is that important? The Greek word to consider and the Hebrew word to know are the same word. In Hebrew, it's the word yada. It means to discover. To find out where you're at in life at that very given moment, in that thing that you're prone to worry about right now. God says, in it, discover me. The word yada means to find him, to discover him, to see him in that thing. Is that not beautiful? That is better than a pill. That's better than a martini. I just do it to calm my nerves. Save your money and your health. Take a beanbag, write fear on it, throw it to the Lord and say, Lord, allow me now in this thing to discover you right in the midst of my troubles. Oh God, and listen, I don't know about you guys. This is probably the Jacob part of me. Get the kids in the room too. Hey kids, come on, we're gonna pray. You guys, our family's so used to doing this that when we gather to pray, I kid you not, if you've been to my house, and even if we gather to pray for dinner, come on, let's pray. We'll stand in a circle. Even our dogs come and get in the circle. It's the cool, come on, let's get in a circle. They just come, ding, 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 ding. They sit down. All right, let's pray. Why? Get a crowd, get the kids, get the wife, get the husband. Lord, you have said in your word that when we're in trouble, that we need to discover you right in the midst of it. So Lord, may we see you in the midst of this trouble that we are in. In Jesus' name, amen. And you break up and the dogs go their way and you sit down and you leave it at the throne of God.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Why did I say bring the family, get the kids together? Because I believe, again, this is the Jacob part, it comes down to this. Now, Lord, the kids are hearing this. Lord, the kids are watching. For their faith, manifest your presence. Lord, for their, you guys, I've shared this with you before, but it's kind of a fun thing. And now it's just, my kids are in their 20s. Dad, I lost my car keys. Or I can't find my credit card. Or I don't know where my wallet is. This is God honest truth right here, right now. Dad, will you pray for my car keys? This just happened recently in my house. Ashley lost her keys. I can't find them. Will you pray? Watch this. Happens every time. Every time. Lord, show us where the car keys are at. We'll wait. Lord, show us where the car keys are at. And we'll wait. And you guys, I believe God honors this because their faith is on the line. I'm going to love God if I find her car keys or not. But you know what happens? Supernaturally, I'm telling you, there'll be a flash in my head under the couch on the left side. I'll go over there. Ashley, come on. What? Let's go. You guys, it's amazing. Yes, God, thank you. And the last time, and I know she gets it, but sometimes she doesn't get it. How do you do that? I have nothing to do about it. It's just asking him and saying, Lord, their faith, do it for their faith. God cares so much that if he finds car keys, will he not take care of the rest of it? You say, well, he's not taking care of the thing that I'm involved in. Yes, he is. The answer is that he's not doing it the way you want him to do it. He's doing it better. He's doing it his way. And that's a challenge. Our faith will grow. What energizes your faith? Is it your faith in God? So he says, consider the lilies of the field. And that's just a beautiful thing because church, frankly, the lilies of the field, you don't see them. Jesus is basically announcing, you guys, don't you enjoy the lilies? And they all would have said, yes, even though we're rough, gnarly fishermen, we love those lilies. Our wife, they love when we bring the lilies home. Jesus' point is, have you ever seen the lily plant panicking before it puts out the blossom? It doesn't toil or spin. The word means it's not grunting and sweating. Jesus says, doesn't do that. An orange tree. You see the orange trees out there? See the oranges on them? That tree, when you walk by in the quietest moments, you're not going to hear the orange tree. Ah! Oh! I got 40 more to go. Jesus is saying, it doesn't happen that way. You abide in Christ, keep your feet in the roots, as it were, in the Lord, and watch what comes out. We make it so difficult. We make everything difficult. And then we worry about it. We need to trust him. Secondly, exactly that. What energizes you? Not only faith in the Lord, but is it your trust in God? Do you believe that God will do what he says? Verse 29, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, nor have an anxious mind. Wow. Listen. The word anxious mind here, are you ready for this? The word in the original language means to have your head split right down the middle. Like a melon. When you worry, your head splits. You say, yeah, I get headache all the time. Well, that'll cause it, but that's not what I'm talking about. It means to have a double mind or a split mind, and it begins to divide. The word is also translated in the Anglo-Saxon world to strangle the mind. It splits your thinking. Watch, when you worry, the anxious mind, listen, I'm 50 years old here really quick, and I'm starting, I can say this is true. When you're anxious about something and worried about something, concerned about something, it splits your mind. Your memory is diminished because of stress. That is a medical fact. Then if you don't get that taken care of, guess what happens? It begins to strangle the vitality right out of your life. God said that 2,000 years ago about our human nature. How do we combat that? Trust in God. Trust in the Lord. He says, don't seek after what you're going to eat. You guys, this is very convicting. I mean, I'm really holding it back. I could really let it go. No, I can't go because. But we have made what Jesus is speaking about. Remember, we're his disciples. And what I'm saying is we're walking a fine line of destruction. Why? We are his disciples, but we can't wait for this service to get over. Why? Oh man, because I'm going to go get that grand slam or whatever your thing is. Oh, we're going to go to dinner today. Oh, it's going to be, we're going to fill in the blank. We all do that. I do it more than you do, but we all do it. When I'm supposed to live as a disciple just for simple sustenance, I make it a big deal. It's a danger. Because I can begin to derive pleasure, meaning, passion, and trusting in these things. Jesus says, don't seek them. The word in the Greek is stop it. The word implies that we do this. Stop doing it. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. That includes food. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That takes effort. Do not lean to your own understanding. That takes effort. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's awesome. That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Give that to your children. That's a great one. Matthew 6, 8, for your Father, Jesus said, knows the things that you have need of before you ask. So if the Father knows, before I even ask, then that should embolden me to ask. Verse 30, he says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, or the Gentiles, those who do not know the Lord. It's been said that worrying insults God and defies reality. Isn't that great? Actually, Mark Twain said that. Worrying insults God and defies reality. What a great word that is. Worry stacks tomorrow's burdens on top of today's realities. You're dealing with today, but what about tomorrow? Some people are already involved in tomorrow. They haven't even finished today. Third, under this point, what energizes your life? Is it in your hope in God? We have faith in God. We have trust in God. Do we have hope in God? He says, your Father knows that you have need of these things. This may sound very simplistic, but I got to tell you, it blesses me big time. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those who follow him, and he said, look it, mark it. He said, your Father knows. Church, you and I are in the 21st century. We take this for granted. In the first century, when Jesus was speaking, Jesus broke the silence, as it was. In the Old Testament, there was always this distance and this fiery mountain, so to speak, and the temple and the Ark of the Covenant and there were processions and protocols of how to get into God's presence. It was such a big and difficult deal, and it was supposed to be that way. Jesus comes and makes a radical statement that we take for granted. Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, your Father. We don't get it. When he said it, their eyes had to get big. What? You are telling us that God wants us as his kids? You are telling us that we should call him Father? You'll never find this anywhere in the world, in any religion, where God turns to you and says, I'm your Father. Come here. This is revolution thinking and revolution words. Your Father knows. You cannot get a bigger boost in hope than this. It's your Father knows, your dad knows everything, so what are you worrying about? Everyone, remember when we were little? And I believe this is of God. I hope you see that the same way. You know, the family unit is a little model of God's relationship with his people. And when a child is really little, when the child looks to mom and dad, that parent is like God to them. They don't understand. When mom and dad say it, remember when kids are really little, you can say anything. That's why you better be careful what you say to them. You can say anything to them and they'll believe you. That's exactly how you and I are supposed to be right now. See, our problem is the danger as we grow older, we've got to keep from growing up as we grow older. That's the danger. Growing up is a bad thing. As we get older, we should grow downward toward being more like a child. For unless we are like a child, Jesus said, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What did he mean? When God says it, I believe it, that settles it. And so he says, your Father. Wow, he knows what you need. That breeds hope. This was an awesome, radical thing for him to say. I'm going to say something that's going to maybe freak somebody out. I get a letter every time I mention a certain word here in a second, but you just got to get used to it. I'm going to keep mentioning it. This was a radical announcement that Jesus made. And what was it? Basically this. God is love, and he loves you. He wants you to come and be his child. So come on. Radical statement. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says that God loved us first before we ever loved him. For God so loved the world, he gave us his son. What an awesome thing to think of.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Life According to Who, Part 2. You know, this series is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So good to see my friend Pastor Jack sitting in the studio with me. Good to see you, my friend.
It's great to see you again, always.
So we had our buddy Charlie Kirk in to do a Happening Now segment, and there's a book coming out of that. Tell me about it, would you?
Yeah, by the way, we've done it a few times. That sit down with Charlie Kirk literally changed the way that Charlie is identified publicly. And what I mean by that is this. Charlie said that wherever he goes now, they say, hey, you're the Great Reset guy. because listen, we have to date, I think, well over 1.5 million views on that get together.
Yeah.
And so yeah, is a great thing. What Charlie did, he took 90 minutes and he brought it down to a pocket sized reference book. And it is very, very powerful. And everybody's going to want to get a copy, because let me tell you, the Great Reset, it's happening now. It's actually underway.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know about it, you need to get a copy of this book and learn about it, because it's here.
The Christian Response to the Great Reset by Charlie Kirk. It's our current featured resource, and you can get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.